This morning, I want to preach for a little while on the subject, Occupy Till I Come. Before I read the text, Brother John, you know what I'm about to say. Some people in this church have heard it. Some haven't. But it'd be a sin for me to preach out of this text and not tell this little story. We were working here around the church, several of us men. Brother John looked at me and he said, "Preacher, do you believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus?" I said, "I sure do, Brother John. Why?" He said, "Then why are we doing all this work?" I'll never forget that as long as I can remember anything. Brother Jones had been here in revival, and I told Brother Jones what Brother John said, Brother James Jones from Harriman. I'd love to have him back sometime. A precious man of God. He said, "Brother Rick," he said, "go tell Brother John that Jesus said, occupy till I come." Amen. How many believes we ought to be about our Father's business? Look what the Bible said with me, if you would, please, in verse 11 of chapter 19. The Word of God said, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, and to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Verse 18, and the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury or interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." If correctly read, that's verse 11 down through verse 27. I'd like to pray and preach on the subject, Occupy Till I Come. Our Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to be at Bible Way with the saints of God. Lord, I pray this morning that you would encourage your children. Lord, it seems like that there's a little bit of a spirit of oppression that's trying to camp among us today. Lord, if we're not careful, Oppression will turn into depression. Help us, God, to get our eyes off of the situation. Get them on our Savior. Help us, our Lord, to understand that, Lord, there's a Bible in front of us, our Lord, that has predicted that the love of many would wax cold. Has predicted, our Father, the famines. Has predicted the fires, the earthquakes in diverse places. Lord, a Bible that's always true. Lord, I pray today that You would speak to our hearts through Your Word. Encourage the saints of God. And Lord, I pray, convict that one that's lost. That one, our Father, that would hear You say, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. God, I pray You'd convict that heart today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I read after Albert Barnes, and he said this concerning the word occupy. He said the word occupy here means not merely to possess, as it often does in our language, but to improve, to employ in business for the purpose of increasing it or making profit on it. The direction was to use this money so as to gain more against his return. So Jesus commands his disciples to improve their talents, to make the most of them, to increase their capability of doing good, and to do it until he comes and calls us hence by death or by the rapture to meet him. I thought about a verse of scripture when I read that definition that Barnes gave us. The verse says, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to be stagnant. We're supposed to be going onward and upward as we travel through this walk of life as God's people. I have a simple message today, but I want you to understand today that if it's applied, it'll make a huge difference in your life. It'll make a huge difference in your reward in the afterlife. Occupy till I come. The first thing I want to give you in the message today, I told my wife I just have 2 points. She got excited. I said, but there's three under each one of those two. That kind of calmed her down a little bit. The first thing I want you to see is a reason to occupy. How many of you all love Jesus? That ought to be reason enough. If you love Him this morning, you understand that He's gone, and you understand that He's coming again. The reason to occupy. I'm going to give you a couple things this morning under this, and we'll move on. First of all, there's a kingdom that's real. The Word of God said because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. It didn't happen like they thought it was going to happen. You can read in the book of Acts in the early verses in chapter number 1. They thought that He would set up His kingdom right then, right there. But God, thank God, had a bride in mind. God was looking past the Jew that had already rejected the Father, had already rejected the Son, and soon in the book of Acts nationally was going to reject the Holy Ghost. And God was looking at a Gentile world, amen, that was like dogs, amen. But He said they need a Savior. And we ought to shout this morning that before we ever had our eyes on Him, He had His eyes on us. And He made a way that we could be a part of His kingdom. The first time, I'm just going to give you a few verses. The first verse that mentions the kingdom of God. How many believes there's a kingdom that's real? It's real. The first verse says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The first time God mentions the kingdom of God in the Word of God, He's telling us it's important. Look first after the kingdom of God, and you won't have to worry about something to eat, something to wear, a place to live. God said, I'll take care of those that are seeking first the kingdom of God. and his righteousness. I will say this tonight. The looters are not seeking the kingdom of God. They're seeking the kingdoms of this world. Are you listening to me? The rappers, they're not seeking the kingdom of God. They're seeking the kingdoms of this world. The ball players, for the most part, are not seeking the kingdom of God, but are seeking the kingdoms of this world. Politicians, for the most part, are not seeking the kingdom of God, but they're seeking the kingdoms of this world. Occupy. Occupy till I come. That's what Jesus is telling us. Occupy till I come. Mark 1:15 said this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You say, Pastor, when you think about the kingdom of God, what are you thinking about? God's people ought to be seeking it. And if you're a sinner, you ought to be understanding that it's upon us. The kingdom of God is at hand. The Word of God said here that this nobleman went away into a far country, that he was going to return. If you don't believe that, beloved, you don't believe the Word of God. Jesus is going to return. In Mark chapter 10, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. The kingdom of God, you can't get into the kingdom of God in your pride. You have to humble yourself and come as a little child in order to get into the kingdom of God. Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It's hard for those that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Ask your question. Do you believe the kingdom of God is real? I know it is. Amen. How come when the world is rocking and reeling and don't know which way to turn, there's a church, there's a people, beloved, that have a peace, a deep, settled peace down in their heart and know that everything's all right in the Father's house. And He's coming for His children. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The Bible said, know you not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. When's the last time you ever been to a funeral where somebody that lived like these verses? When's the last time you ever been to a funeral where somebody didn't stand up and say, like, well, he was a good old boy? I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not the judge, but when you live like this, you don't know anything about the kingdom of God, according to the Word of God. The Bible is telling us, beloved, there's a kingdom, the kingdom of God. The Bible said in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5, and the devil taking him, that's Jesus, in the temptation, up into a high mountain, showed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Just as sure, beloved, listen, that the kingdom of God is real. The kingdoms of this world are real. And he took him up there and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? Well, in Revelation 11, listen, and verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the kingdoms of this world may have their heyday today, but there's a king coming that's going to take it away from them. Amen. His name is Jesus. He's going to rule. He's going to reign. I believe we ought to occupy. That kingdom is real. It is very, very real. Not only should we occupy, the reason to occupy the kingdom is real, but we ought to occupy because the King is returning. The Word of God teaches us that there's two ways for the child of God to stand before God when the King returns. One is, I believe you find it in the book of 1 John. I believe it's chapter number 2. One way that a child of God can be found when Jesus returns is standing before Him with confidence. What that means is, beloved, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm honoring the one I'm supposed to honor. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm in the will of God, trying to do the work of God. And beloved, when He comes, it will not take that individual by surprise. We'll say, hallelujah, there He is. We've been looking for Him. We've been living for Him. We've been loving on Him. And we understand, beloved, listen, that that's the difference, having confidence when He comes. But there are others. The Word of God said to be ashamed before Him at His coming. In the story here, there's a kingdom that's real. There's a King that's returning. In John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming. In the parable, He says, beloved, listen, that the King is coming. The nobleman goes into a far country, and he's going to return. And beloved, that is reason to occupy till He comes. They stood there in Acts chapter number 1, and the angel of the Lord said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you've seen go into heaven, shall so return in like manner. And beloved, it's the truth. The King will return. There's a kingdom that's real. There's a King that's returning. Listen, this doesn't mean a lot to some people. You say, preacher, why doesn't it mean a lot to some people? Because there's a kinship that's required. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look, if you will, in verse number 14. The Word of God said, but His citizens hated Him and sent a message after Him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus said it like this, why call you Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I'm telling you, when a man gets saved, he doesn't get a Savior without a Lord. He wants a different master. Say amen. He's been a master, a slave to self, a slave to sin, a slave to Satan. And when a man is genuinely born again, he wants Jesus to be his master. Help him in this walk of life. Verse number 14 here, they said, we're not going to have this man to reign over us. You say, Pastor, I don't know what that's got to do with the kingdom. Listen to these words spoken to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then He said in verse number 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, beloved, there's a kinship that's required. Only the children of God are concerned with the kingdom of God. The children of the devil are concerned with the kingdoms of this world. They're concerned with the kingdoms that will perish and one day be given over to the Lord anyway. Beloved, listen, I believe it's important. There's a reason to occupy till He comes. There's a kingdom that is real. There's a king that's returning. And there's a kinship that's required. I want to ask you a question. Do you know Him? Amen. Are you His child? Do you realize that, beloved, listen, behind the scenes, He's still at work. Amen. Do you understand that this thing's headed towards a one world currency, a one world government? You say, Pastor, that scares me to death. Oh, not if you know which kingdom you're in. It's exciting to know, amen, this book is being fulfilled in front of our very eyes. And that our King is coming. There's a reward for occupying. The first thing in the message, there's a reason to occupy. The second thing is there's a reward for occupying. I believe whatever God gives us, He wants it to grow. He gives us faith, and He wants our faith to grow. He gives us knowledge. He wants our knowledge to grow. He helps us financially, and He wants our finances to grow. I'm not a health and wealth preacher, but amen. But if all you live for is today, I don't believe that's pleasing to God. Say amen. We ought to live like He's coming today and plan like we'll go on till we're 80 or 90 years old. Amen. A reason, but then there's a reward. First of all, I'll give you three things this reward is related to. Number one, it's related to our Father. Look what the Bible said in verse number 13. And He called His 10 servants, and what's the next word? Delivered. First of all, let me say this. God delivered you spiritually if you're saved by the grace of God. You didn't deliver yourself, God delivered you. But here's what I want you to see. This parable is about these 10 pounds that were given to 10 servants, and they each had that pound, and each of them had to make a decision as to what they were going to do with that pound that God had given them. Here's what my point in the message is right here and related to a father. None of us have anything that our Father didn't give us. Oh, you say, Pastor, that's not right. I worked with these hands for what I've got. Who gave you those hands? Oh, Pastor, that's not right. I went to college. I studied. Who gave you that mind? Who gave you the means? Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, those that are in the kingdom of God know that every good, every perfect gift comes down from above. It's not something that we worked up. It's something that He gave us. Amen. And it's important because it'll change your whole attitude. You say, this is mine. Everything you have is borrowed. Let me say that again in case you didn't get it. Everything you have is borrowed. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Lady up in Glade Spring, Virginia, loved the Lord. There was a professor up there, very, very intelligent man. He was a professor at Radford University. And she tried and she tried and she tried to win him. And finally she did. But one day she was making an effort and he looked at her. She said to him, said, C.C., his name was C.C. Shelburne, said, C.C., you can't take that money with you. He had a little cigar cough. That's what he said. He said, oh yeah. He said, I'm going to have them pack it in the casket all around me. And she looked at CC and said, well, I tell you what we'll do. She said, just before they close the lid on you the last time, I'm going to write you a check and take the cash. Said, it'll do you just as much good where you're going. Amen. You can't take it with you. It's borrowed. And God, according to the Word of God right here, is looking to see how that we use what He's blessed us with in this walk of life. Those who are really the ones that we're talking about a reward are those that live their life for others. Jesus didn't live his life for himself. He lived his life for others. It's related to our Father. He gave us what we have. It's related to our faithfulness. Look in verse 16. The word of God said, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been what? Smart? Is that what he said? Because thou hast been rich? Because thou hast been affluent in society? No. What he says right here, Brother Gary, every one of God's children can be, and that's faithful. Let me say that again. What he says right here, every one of God's children. You say, preacher, I don't have 2 cents. That's why God put a woman in the Bible with 2 mites that was faithful. The word of God says she cast in more than all of them because she gave all of her living. It'd be interesting, Brother Steve, to find out what happened after that. How many's been in this trail long enough, Brother Ike, to know that God will not let anybody outgive him? I bet if you could track that woman down, beloved, listen, God just poured it on her over and over and over and over. Because that's the way he is. I remember a time we were in a meeting and it took $5 to get me through a week. Miss Eve would pack my lunch, but the $5 got me something cold to drink. And my wife watched me put my last $5 in the offering plate. It wasn't something I decided to do. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You ain't lived for God if he ain't ever told you to turn your wallet upside down and empty it. And men, that means the secret place too. Every man's wallet's got a secret place in it. Amen. Amen, Brother John. I told my wife one time, she said, you got any money? I said, no. She said, if I can find it, can I have it? Gary Joe, that was a mistake. My wife looked at me after church and said, honey, what are you going to do for lunch? I said, I don't know, but I know I did what God wanted me to do. I don't know how it happened. I've got an idea. When you came to our house at that time, there was plastic stapled over the windows on the inside and plastic stapled over the windows on the outside. He said, preacher, why? Because the first winter, the stapling on the inside done good, so I figure staple it on the outside and it'll be twice as good. 12 cord of wood in one winter. I don't know this for a fact, but I have a stinking suspicion. We had a missionary this Eve and a local pastor that visited our home. Sat on the couch. We went home that night and that big family Bible stayed open there on the coffee table. And I started just thumbing through that family Bible. Right there was a $10 bill. You say, pastor, have you lost it? No, I've learned it. You can't outgive God. If you'll mind and do what God wants you to do, God will bless it. He'll break it. He'll bless it. He won't let you outgive him. Y'all believe that? The Word of God is saying here that they were faithful, and the Bible said in very little. Everybody acts like, well, it's so hard to serve God. All God wants you to do is be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's related to our Father. It's related to our faithfulness. The second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. I believe this is important. Beloved, listen to me carefully right here. Our reward in glory is going to have a relationship with our service on earth. The Bible teaches that. The lost man that dies without God and goes to hell, his punishment in hell is going to have a relationship with how that he's lived here on the earth. I don't know about you. I don't want the best hell has to offer. But there are degrees of punishment in hell. And there are degrees of reward in heaven. I'm a firm believer that it won't be the pastors, won't be the preachers, be those saints of God whose names are never mentioned, who stay in that prayer closet, beg God to help that church, beg God to help that man of God. Beloved, God wants us to be faithful. There's a reward for occupying. It's related to our Father. It's related to our faithfulness. Then lastly in the message, it's related to our future. There are two futures that are pictured in the text. One is a future with great reward. If you had to stand before God today, would you have a reward? Would God be able to say, that family's been faithful, that individual's been faithful, that daddy's been faithful, that mama has been faithful? I believe there are two futures being pictured. One is a future with great reward, and the other is a future with great regret. There's nobody in hell today that say, boy, I'm just glad I'm here. Ain't this wonderful? You can hear people say stupid stuff. I said stupid stuff. Like, I want to go to hell. That's where my buddies are. They forgot about the outer darkness. They forgot there's no party in hell. They forgot there's torment in hell. They forgot that they're begging for a drop of water in hell. If you come on down through here, the Bible talked about an austere man. That's the way a lot of people look at God, like he's hard. The definition of that is severe, oppressive. It's commonly applied to unripe fruit. It means sour and unpleasant and harsh. You know the reason that people think God is sour and harsh and unpleasant is because they don't know him. Amen. They just don't know him. That's the way that so many see our Lord and his kingdom. He said here, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money to the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. He said, that every one which hath shall be given. From him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. Those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. There's a picture in the text. The king is coming. Occupy, he said, until I come. What God has blessed you with, use it for his glory. what God has blessed you with, share it with others. What God has blessed you with, thank Him for it. He's coming. Will He find us living for ourselves or living for the Savior? They're telling me, as I look at the statistics, the drug overdoses are way up. You want to know why? They don't know where to turn. The suicides, Brother Grizzle, are way up. The liquor sales are way up. Honey, the answer's not found in a bottle. It's found in a Bible. It's found in the gospel. Occupy till I come. It's not a popular message, friend, but listen to me. You and I are going to stand before God. And we are going to give an account. Brother Jim was at my house the other day. I hope he took it this way. But I was trying to brag on the Lord. For 25 years ago, I didn't have a house. 25 years ago, I didn't have $200 to my name. 25 years ago, I couldn't even afford the storage facility for my furniture, nor the truck to move it. You say, why would you say that? Why would you tell that, preacher? Because I want my God to get glory. He's been good to me. There have been some steps, Brother Aaron, along the way that were just absolutely and completely a step of faith. But God honors that. God honors that. I don't deserve anything that I have, but I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And I promise you this, I know where it came from. Amen. And I want to occupy till He comes. Occupy till He comes. It's not time to lay down. It's not time to give up. It's not time to quit. It's time to square our shoulders back and march on for the glory of God. It might be an unusual message. In many circles, it might be an unwanted message. But God is challenging His people today. Don't give up. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I will guarantee you that if I did ask, there'd be hands in this auditorium go up at the response to this question. How many have felt like giving up lately? Don't give up. It ain't going to be long. We're going to be going up. So don't give up. Somebody was on the radio this morning on the way to church. And they said, I think, Miss Eve, I get this right. They said that a vehicle in 5 years could cost what our home cost 5 years ago. He said, boy, that's depressing. I want to say this. God give us two legs to walk on a long time before the wheels ever got here. And Brother Ralph, he was talking about the prayer and the shouting. It didn't start when they got to church, Brother Ralph. They had been out in the woods somewhere shouting already before they ever got to church. They didn't have so many things to take up all their time. They worked hard and they loved hard. They loved the family and loved the Lord. Let's not let the things of this world get between us and our King. He's coming. He's encouraging us. Occupy. Occupy. Barnes said it means not merely to possess, but to improve. How many can improve in your life? The songwriter said, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. How many could get a little closer in your life? Occupy till I come. How many could stand a greater burden for the lost and a greater burden for the things of God? Occupy till I come. I believe if we're faithful in the least, God looks at that and He'll bless it. Amen. One thing every child of God can do is be faithful. Are you faithful? Are you faithful?